Unless you're living under a rock here in the United States, you're well aware of the Baltimore Bridge collapse, where a massive cargo ship crashed for whatever reason into the Francis Scott Key Bridge, causing catastrophic issues to the United States supply chain. But the big thing that people are having issue with is this announcement that the Biden-Harris administration is willing to input $60 million for emergency work in the wake of collapse of the Francis Scott Key Bridge. The $60 million comes in quick release emergency relief funds for the Maryland Department of Transportation to rebuild the Francis Scott Key Bridge after a cargo container, on March 26th. And these funds, this is important, will serve as a down payment towards initial costs and additional emergency relief program funding will be made available as work continues. Why? Why us as United States taxpayers, hardworking dollars, should we foot the bill for an issue like this? And again, it's emergency relief funds. From what I've gathered in researching it, because I'm someone who doesn't like to see this. If someone causes an issue, clean up your own mess. But the problems that leaving this bridge to the mercy of payments from an insurance company with like how, you know, who knows how long that would take would cause more damage to the U.S. economy than the $6 million that are being put out. And I think that's what's missing from what I've gathered of everything that's being announced. And I don't know why they aren't more descriptive in regards to this. So President Biden comes on TV and says, we're going to help pay for this. And everyone's just scratching their heads. Why? Well, this PBS article that I found is how Baltimore's Key Bridge collapse will affect supply chains and the economy. The port handled a record amount of cargo last year. While President Joe Biden has said he intends federal government to help rebuild the bridge and call on Congress to support the effort, the port is directly responsible for about 15,000 jobs and generated $4.7 billion in economic value to the state of Maryland. No small number. Another question, you know, why wouldn't the state of Maryland come out and help? Well, there's a whole bunch of reasons why the federal government can step in this case, being the waters and the port exceeding beyond Maryland and serving the entire East Coast is a big reason why it becomes a federal issue rather than just a local state issue. And, you know, how long will shipping be suspended here? At least take a couple months to clear the wreckage alone from the crashed cargo ship and the bridge of the harbor. So 2 months just to clear all of the debris and all the issues, and that doesn't even talk about starting the reconstruction and opening it up. So will supply chains be interrupted? For cars, it would make sense to expect some degree of disruption with the number one port out of commission, at least along the East Coast, who is also says Mason, Director of Logistics and Large Manufacturing. In the future, ships are likely to be diverted to other major ports on the East Coast, all of which are larger than Baltimore's and have the capacity to handle an increased traffic. But of course, any issue in supply chain is going to cause disruption across the board, economic impact to these specific businesses and to the United States as a whole. Again, $4.7 billion of economic impact just from this port alone to the state of Maryland. And what are potential long-term effects? The Key Bridge collapse comes at a time where the other international routes are under pressure. Extreme drought has forced the Panama Canal to limit the number of ships. So a whole bunch of issues are coming to a meeting that is, you know, it's just not good for the U.S. economy. And that is incredibly interesting. Now, $60 million, a massive catastrophic thing that's happening. Is $60 million going to be enough? Hell no. The other article that came up, Baltimore Bridge collapse. Who will pay for the destroyed bridge, harm businesses, and lost lives? So this is where it goes into, yes, the United States is going to be paying for a partial amount for it. But a report from credit rating agency Morningstar DBRS predicts the collapse could become the most expensive marine insured loss in history, surpassing the record of about $1.5 billion held by the 2012 shipwreck of the Costa Concordia cruise ship off Italy. Morningstar DBRS estimates total insured losses for this Baltimore disaster could be $2 to $4 billion. So that $60 million is going to be a drop in the bucket for the entirety of this whole bill, in which, for peace of mind for U.S. taxpayers, is going to be in the neighborhood of $2 to $4 billion from insurance companies. And What I would love to know is there some sort of reimbursement for the U.S. government in this case? Because the $60 million goes out, but that's only to just accelerate the reconstruction and get supply chains and open up this this port again as fast as possible, because it's going to cause such a major impact to the United States. One thing in my own personal experience in dealing with catastrophic payouts from insurance companies was I was still working in aerospace when the whole 737 MAX issue happened, and those insurance companies and Boeing had to deal with all that issue, just massive payouts. Who gets to pay that back? Policyholders. The entire aerospace industry had to pay that back, not just Boeing. So anytime something like this happens, everyone takes a share. Why? Because insurance operates on probability and statistics in what is called a law of large numbers. So they assess a market, they assess different payouts and different risk within the market, and that's how they assess the policy, because they need people to pay into it, but not everybody can be paid out. Insurance is for that peace of mind in the event something happens, but insurance does not want to pay people out. When they have an issue like this, where it's going to be $2 to $4 billion, all of the policyholders that have those marine policies are going to see increased premiums until that policy insurer is going to be made whole in some form or fashion. So in one sense, a peace of mind for people that the U.S. government is not shelling out $2 to $4 billion for the entirety of repairing this disaster. But also, it's a trickle down, right? Like, depending how high those premiums go is going to then increase the cost of all those cargo ships. And then it's going to increase the cost of the shipping from the people that use those cargo holders. And then it goes back down to the consumer. That's fantastic to look at, I guess. So, you know, I talk about all different kind of topics on this podcast. And when I feel like I can add some sort of value, some sort of additional narrative perspective to anything that's going on in current times, I want to be able to do that. And in this instance, I went through something when I worked in aerospace, and I was one of those people managing policies for an aerospace company when something like this happened. And so I have some value to share with the experience. And then again, just what additional research reveals when you look into it. Yeah, I don't like the U.S. government paying for other people's mistakes, but in this instance, you got to get things up and running. I would love to know if there's some recovery by the U.S. government to get the money back from the insurers when fault is fully investigated and determined.